the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, all you can't qualify. To sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, not good news at all. Devon Thomas, of course, playing for the West Indies. We know him very well. In fact, only recently picked in a team to travel to represent the West Indies. Suspended by the ICC, 7 charges, and 1 of which contriving to fix matches. What a story. The Lanka Premier League, the Abu Dhabi T20, and the CPL, they're going to certainly have to examine that and get some reaction as far as that is concerned. But that is not the kind of news that you'd be looking for at all, with Devon Thomas being suspended by the ICC. And one of the big charges, contriving to fix matches. That's not good news at all. In other news, in terms of the situation as far as the late Thelston Payne concern, well, no cricket on the weekend. The BCA decided, as a mark of respect, and I think that's very good news indeed, very welcome by all those concerned. No cricket on the weekend, at least on Saturday. Those games have actually been shifted in the T20 competition to Sunday. And already we've got the president of the Barbados Cricket Association, Mr. Conde Reilly, online. In other news, hearing that Floyd Reefer has been appointed the assistant coach of the white ball team. That's what I'm hearing. We'll certainly try and confirm that. But I'm hearing that Mr. Floyd Lamont Reefer is getting a big pick. We're going to certainly follow that story. And on the local scene, we've got the Empire Sports Club 109th anniversary. In fact, the week of activities all on this week. And this evening, there's going to be a big feature presentation, and that's going to be done by Stephen Leslie, the manager, marketing and communications at the BCA. We're certainly looking forward to that. I'm sure that Stephen will do a good job. So you can, of course, look at the whole question of going across to the Empire Club, the home of champions. They're celebrating their week of activities. And without any further ado, let's go to Conde Reilly. Hello, Conde. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Andrew.
Right. And the news coming that the Barbados Cricket Association suspended all matches on Saturday because of Thelston Payne. Of course, as a due of marked respect, of course, you would want to look at that. And as you know, Thelston has been a tremendous servant, would have started way back in, 1974, playing for St. Catharines.
Yes, Andrew. First of all, let me just, on behalf of myself, family, the Barbados Cricket Association, offer sincere condolences to family, Damien, and the members of his family on his passing. That was a guy of, great gravitas in terms of how he represented Barbados in Catharines Club. He had never played for any other club. I played against him many years ago in a quarterfinal that day for you. I remember after the game, he had dropped me when it was 2. And it's going 63. And we won the game. It was a quarterfinal game, and we had to go out to play them against Maple. He said, "I dropped you." And he was all beat us. But one day, saying, "You've all beat Maple too," which we did. And that was the semifinal. And we played against Banks at Hamilton Noble in the final. If he lost, George Babbitt scored a brilliant 80-something that game. But no, Telson was a wonderful servant of Barbados cricket. And, you know, he was a legend as far as St. Catherine is concerned. And although I believe he's in a better place and not suffering and so on, it's still a sad loss. And as I said, I offer sincere condolences to his family, immediate, the people of St. Catherine, the people of St. Philip. I'm sure that they would turn up in their numbers at the gymnasium on Saturday morning. We felt that the best thing we could do is to cancel all world cricket, to give all cricketers an opportunity to go and pay their respects to him. So there'll be no cricket, and you play it, sorry, the cup, the shield, or nor the play it on Saturday morning. That the matches will be played on Sunday. I hope you don't get rain, but the reserve day will be on, I think, June 3rd is where we put that.
I see. And
I just wanted to say one more thing about Telson. Sure. I remember a partnership between himself and Emerson Trautman against the Combined Islands. Both of them scored hundreds. And I'll never forget that partnership. Because, I mean, the bowlers were like Andy Roberts, the Benjamins, guys used to call the dentist.
Yes.
From Mount Surratt.
Maynard.
Maynard, yeah. And they really decimated that. Thurston and Emerson Trump. So something we'll never forget. Wonderful partnership.
Wonderful partnership. Conde, just before you go, though, any word in relation to where the games will be played for the semifinals, the BCA Elite Division One?
That would be announced shortly.
Announced shortly.
The Cricket Operations Department will announce that during the course of the rest of this week and so on.
But I'm told that the YMPC, well, the game is going to be at the Desmond Haynes Oval in the Gladiola Pickwick game at Bay Field. Can you confirm that?
Well, as we go the route on neutral grounds, that is quite possible.
So you're confirming that the Wilde YMPC game will be at the Desmond Haynes Oval and the Gladiola Pickwick game will be at Bay Field?
I'm not confirming it. I'm saying that based on your playing conditions and so on, the cricket operations people will make that announcement before the end of the week.
Well, I can confirm then, if Conde, if you don't want to confirm it, I'm told that the Wilde YMPC game will be at the Desmond Haynes Oval, and the Gladiola Pickwick game will be at Bay Field. Have you heard that too, Conde?
No. I had early morning meeting, so I haven't really been in touch with the office.
Oh, so nobody's told you then?
No.
We just did a Mason and Guess.
Okay.
We'll be announcing where the finals will be pretty shortly. Is where we got that in a little birdie told me, you know, Conde. I've got birdies up there, you know.
No problem. You're accurate.
All right, good. And just before you go, Conde, what a sad story in relation to Devon Thomas. As a cricket board director, you would want to comment on that. I mean, suspended by the ICC 7 charges, the big charge contriving to fix matches. Your reaction, Conde?
It's very disappointing. He's a guy that I had a lot of time for. But sometimes, you know, people go astray. I haven't really had any information from cricket records. Yeah, I know there's a communique that will come out shortly, but the board hasn't discussed it yet. So I really can't. I don't want to comment on it till I get, you know, all the facts.
Right. Well, there's a release from Cricket West Indies. Dr. Kishore Shallow is going to be joining us around a quarter to seven. He said he's going to come on early, so no doubt we'll be expecting to hear from him. But you're saying it's, like most of us, I mean, it's a very disappointing thing to have happened and unfortunate as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Conde, I want to thank you for coming and talking to us on Mason and Guest.
I'll see you on Saturday. Okay.
Okay. Yes, of course. Oh, I'll be there early o'clock. And by the way, that funeral, well, it's on Saturday, and it's going to be
at 10 o'clock at the gymnasium.
Yeah.
And the Berry Bear Courage.
And Berry Bear Courage. Yeah, we'll see you then. All right. Thanks, Conde Riley, President of the Barbados Cricket Association. Now, gentlemen, on Zoom already, let's get some reaction. Let's first of all start with you, Philo Wallace. I mean, what a story to have broken. I mean, suspended by the ICC. I mean, Devon Thomas, your reaction, Philo?
Hi, Andrew. Good evening to you and your guests. Conde is gone. I want to say happy birthday to Tony Gray.
Yes.
You know, it's a wonderful feeling, you know, to move up in life. I call it growing up.
How old is he now? how old is Tony? Is he 21?
I think 25.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. So it's good, Andrew, to have him. I want to say hello to Sherilyn Hart and Heaven and the people at Best of Santos. Right, Carlos here as well. Devon Thomas, a disappointment. Because this is not what we are accustomed to in West Indies cricket, where our players are obviously suspended from playing cricket because of an infraction of the ICC cricketing rules. Many occasions, Andrew, we have had people from Cricket West Indies and from the West Indies Players Association bellowing out the importance of the seminars and all the other stuff that they do with them, the workshops, to deal with these kind of things of match fixing and being approached by people for match fixing, about match fixing, and obviously what to look for. And it's sad that a man like Devon Thomas would have, you know, got himself caught up in something like that. He's innocent until proven guilty. But 7 charges is a lot of charges. I was only told today, I think he lives in Jamaica now as well. I'm not even certain if he lives in Antigua. So it's very, very sad. Cricket West Indies obviously would be in shock. Now we realize the reason why he's been pulled from the UAE squad as well, because obviously he's been suspended. So it's not a good thing for Cricket West Indies. We have a new president in Dr. Shallow and a new vice president in Bazarat. And they now have to deal with this issue of one of the players, you know, being caught up in this ugly scene in cricket. Not good. Always learn from past players and what they've experienced with these type of things. And, you know, to have it for so long, it's about 2 years now. But the sad thing is 2021. And, you know, so I don't know if he's been, you know, unwilling to communicate it to the authorities. But now he's found himself in hot water and pulled from playing cricket. See, he's pulled from doing his job. It's very sad. And I do hope that something positive comes out of it and he will learn. Because he's not a young man. He's a mature man in West Indies cricket. And not to be able to play cricket, you know, is going to be detrimental to him and his family. I do hope that, you know, something positive is done. I believe he will get the best representation which he needs. And let's try to close this chapter of this section of his life and this match fixing within the Caribbean. It's not something that we're accustomed to in the Caribbean. It's just sad that, you know, it has happened to one of our players.
Let's get a reaction from Dr. Ford. Dr. Ford, this is very sad, isn't it?
Hi, good night, Andrew, and to our panelists and to the listeners. It's an unfortunate situation. We can't pass judgment until it's done officially. But I think one of the unfortunate things is the number of charges, 7 charges, and also the variations of the charges. So I think it's a wake-up call for all cricketers in the region and also in the world. Another thing is the charges are from 2 years ago. So it shows how slowly the wheels can turn, but they turn nonetheless inevitably. So I believe that cricketers in the region and all over the world should be aware of reporting any advances or suggestions that bring the game into disrepute. Also should be wary of receiving any gifts, and all the charges should make people more aware of it. And we also look at the difficulties some players have had with anti-doping as well. So I think all of the national associations and WADA, there's still a lot of work to be done to help our players and to educate them and to reinforce what should be done. With all these leagues around, and we do know that betting is a big part of sport in all sports. So I think that it's important that cricketers be aware, you know, because their integrity can be tested, and you don't want to naively or otherwise be involved in these situations, because they threaten your livelihood, and no player can be advanced by being involved in such a thing. So I'm hoping that I'm wishing them all the best, but I'm hoping that also everyone will take note and will do the necessary. Mm-hmm.
Let's get a reaction from Tony Gray. Tony?
Yes, good evening to everyone. First of all, I must say condolences to the families of the people who died in Guyana. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a sad occasion, a sad event. And, you know, condolences to the families and also, obviously, the Guyanese who are feeling it at the moment. It's a sad part of our history now. Case of Devon Thomas, I mean, as Philip Wallace rightly said, I don't think that ignorance can be a factor there now, because there's a lot of effort by CWI and the ICC to educate players about the intricacies of the different things that you have to be careful of and mindful of, because this is the way the world has gone in sport. There's a lot of betting going on, a lot of money is in sport, and you have to be careful. So there's no excuse for ignorance. I think that West Indies cricket doesn't need it now, because to me, there's a certain degree of stability at the moment, and we need to stabilize West Indies cricket and to bring it into disrepute again and distract. What we need to focus on is not good for West Indies cricket. So hopefully, we can't prejudge, and hopefully, he can learn from it, and others can learn from this situation.
Mm. Yeah, I certainly agree with that. We've got to be very careful, because the media has not been found guilty. And it's also going to be, Dr. Ford, interesting to see how West Indies handle the situation, because, as you know, he is in the squad to go to UAE. It's going to be, they put out a statement today. Dr. Shallow is going to join us at around a quarter to seven. But it's also going to be interesting to see how the West Indies will act as far as this is concerned, Doc.
Well, as any administrative team of any sport would do, you reinforce and close ranks with the authority. So, I mean, anti-corruption is something every cricketing country, ICC, affiliated country, will support. So Cricket West Indies will have to close ranks and support and say that they abhor such a thing, but yet they have to support their players as well. So evidently it would not be prudent to have an individual with a cloud over his head being a part of a representative team. So that will have to be fixed, and a replacement will have to be found. But of course they will have to follow that guideline and that roadmap, which others would in this situation. So I'm sure that's what we will see.
So basically then you're thinking that the West Indies fellow will not have him in the side. I note with interest what you said earlier.
Andrew, he's been suspended with immediate effect. This hearing is not going to happen tomorrow. So I can't see Cricket West Indies allowing him to go to UAE. And UAE is one of the areas in which the problems occur. Sri Lanka, Abu Dhabi, the Caribbean. So what would you take a man who has pending charges on a West Indies international tour? Mm. So the best thing that West Indies will know how to handle this, and they'll make the announcement. I can't see him going to UAE to represent West Indies. If it does happen, I don't know what to say, but you don't want this type of person to be around your team, because there's something called adverse effect.
Mm.
Andrew, ICC has charged the man with 7 charges of anti-corruption code.
Mm.
It's not one or two, it is 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of charges. You know, and one of them is taking gifts. We don't know what the gifts are. You have to remember, there's a guy called Heath Streak, the former Zimbabwean fast bowler and coach.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. He took gifts, and he's been banned. He was banned from cricket. He's banned. Obviously, he's in South Africa fighting for his life. but he was banned because of doing this, something similar. So there is precedent there. And you know, for Devon Thomas to find himself in this situation, it is, to me, it is wrong. Mm. He's a big man, and he knows. Reaper came on this program, their representative spoke about this match fixing thing. It comes in many forms, Andrew. And again, these guys go around the world and playing these T20 and T10 leagues. And a lot of things happen. We don't know. They're not monitored. They're not managed. They're on their own. So they're open to people making advances to them. You know, and it's quite sad that a talent like Devon Thomas has found himself caught up or having discussions with the wrong people and now found wanting. But again, he's innocent until proven guilty. And I believe that Cricket West Indies will lend him all the help and assistance. Also, the Leeward Islands Cricket Board will have to come in here and help him as well. And just try to get him through this dark area of his career as quickly as possible. I don't know if he can bounce back from it, but let's try to get to a resolution as quickly as possible so he can move on with what he has to do in relation to get him back onto the playing field. And I believe that they will also recommend he goes into a rehabilitation type of setting where he go to classes again and be educated about the dangers of getting involved with these bookmakers. They're smart, and they come to you in many shapes, forms, and sizes.
Mm.
And you need to be cognizant of what they're looking for, asking for. And as you, if you don't feel comfortable having a discussion about cricket with someone, you need to report it.
Mm.
And those are one of the things that are coming out in some of the charges. He did not report the matter. So these are things that show there's a little, you know, he's not as honest as he should be as a West Indian cricketer. Because we are known in the world to be very honest cricketers. You don't really hear about West Indians cheating in cricket. We take our lashes on the field, and when we give lashes, some people can't take them. But we're not an international team where we have cheaters. Mm. It's never been in our culture.
Mm.
And so this is a little shock, and I do hope that a resolution can be found sooner rather than later to take the continuous, Tony Greg said, let's focus on the more important things of West Indies cricket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to try to get some reaction from across the Caribbean. I've been trying to get in contact with Colin James. I know that we've had one or two challenges. But let's go to Guyana now and speak to noted journalist Akeem Green. Akeem, your reaction to this suspension as far as Devon Thomas is concerned, 7 charges, a very serious one. Allegations, of course, contriving to fix matches. What are they saying in Guyana about this, Akeem?
Yeah, hi, good night, Andrew, and good night to all your listeners. It's quite shocking when I saw the email come through from ICC Media. You know, you would think, given the documented history, not with West Indies cricketers, but generally around the region, with what happens to cricketers who don't even report these things as well, the kind of bans, the suspensions, the tarnish that you bring to your name. People don't want to be associated with you anymore in leagues, etc. You will want to think that cricketers these days are smarter to whenever they have a conversation with somebody and they don't feel too comfortable. You know, they make a report or, you know, they go to the relevant authorities. But to still see in this day and age, cricketers are falling prey to these kind of things. It's unbecoming. And I would have to say whatever punishment comes their way, you know, they have to bear the full brunt of it by every means. You know, it's not good to having these stuff a part of the game. It really tarnishes the game, and you know it was shocking. But whatever comes Mr. Thomas's way, I think he can have to bear the full brunt of it.
Mm, I see. Yeah. Let's talk about another matter as well, too. I mean, earlier Tony Gray spoke about the tragedy there in Guyana with those children, innocent, dying. I mean. We really here on Mason and Guest, we want to, you know, say how sad we are as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, right now the nation is 3 days of mourning. It is truly a sad situation. Based on reports that my news agency would have reported, is at this point in time that it was, you know, maliciously set by allegedly by one of the pupils of the dorms. 19 persons would have perished thus far, and you know it has really shocked the nation. You know, right now it's kind of really solemn, to be honest, because I don't know anyone who knows. In a matter of days, it's Guyana's independence, and usually it's a bit festive time leading up to independence. But the news of this has really hit a lot of persons really hard, because it's a lot of young, this is a dorm that houses a lot of young children, is, you know, and the way they perished. The thing about it as well is that if you contextualize something, Andrew, and this dorm is in Mardia, but a lot of the students who are at this dorm are not necessarily from Mardia. They're from other communities away from Mardia. It's because of the fact that how the geographical location is set up and how the schools are at this point in time. They would go to they would go there to attend school. So, and then obviously the issue of communication, because a lot of them are from real rural areas. So sometimes some of these parents would have had a conversation with their daughters just before, and would have known about the fire, or maybe their daughter dying, until whenever they got back connectivity to the internet or something of the sort. You know, that is the reality of what would have really went on over the last couple of days. But the authorities in Guyana are on the ground. I know there's some person from Barbados are actually coming in, a pathologist, to assist with identifying the bodies. Mm. And there's a whole collective effort ongoing to support the families who, at this point in time, are the ones in need of the much support.
I see. We're going to continue to get reaction. Let's stay in Barbados. Of course, the show originates in Barbados, and talk to noted journalist Barry Wilkinson, who is a talk show host here as well. Barry, good evening to you, sir.
Hi, Andrew. Good evening to you, and good evening to all of your guests and listeners across the region.
Your reaction to this sad story?
Well, the first thing is, I mean, you have to obviously wait to see if Devon Thomas is indeed guilty. However, I was surprised when I saw he was charged with these things, because usually you have leading players charged with such in terms of match fixing.
Mm.
I don't see Devon Thomas as the leading player that could contrive to fix in a game. And I was surprised that he was targeted.
Mm.
If you said that he was targeted for information, then I could assume that. But
right.
Devon Thomas, many people consider him to be very lucky to be in some of the teams that he's been in. Especially a big batsman. So to think that he would have control, Andrew, to fix the game, I find strange.
You find it strange? Do you find it strange, Tony Gray?
Yeah, to a certain degree, I think Barry is right. I don't think that he is that type of person. I've known him for quite some time, since the under-19s, and he's always been a very disciplined person. So I'm very surprised that his name is calling concerning this situation. And the fact is that we've had examples for these players to follow. You know, so I mentioned just now there's no excuse for ignorance, but I'm surprised that he, because he's always been a disciplined young man.
Mm.
So let's wait and see. Investigations have to continue, and I'm not going to conclude anything.
Mm. Barry, what do you make of the release coming from Cricket West Indies today?
Well, they're obviously seeking an opinion on if he has to be pulled from the squad.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if you pull him from the squad, you're almost saying, well, yes, you are guilty, but you can be pulled under the guise of being, you know, they're investigating. So he can be pulled in that way. So I think they're seeking opinion on that. They don't want to go and pull Devon Thomas, and then it appears that he is indeed guilty. I agree with Philo. If he has been charged with something that happened, we shouldn't take him back there, because you carry him back to where he's being charged.
Right.
So I would actually say, look, Devon, because of this allegation, we have to temporarily suspend your services from West Indies cricket.
Mm.
And I think that would be for his benefit. And I mean, come on, a player is not going to give 100% mentally knowing that they're under charge. So I think it would not be of benefit for West Indies as well to take him there at the moment, because you certainly can't be, your head can't be very clear.
Right.
You're going to play for West Indies and you're on a charge. But the Cricket West Indies must make a statement quite quickly.
Mm.
They're supposed to leave, I think, this weekend, Andrew.
Yes.
So they have to make a statement quickly and say, well, look, we have pulled him and we are replacing him with such a player. It shouldn't be too difficult. They usually get the visa. They usually get visas for these players. They get them in terms of, like, they get 10, 15 at a time, rather than just the players who will be selected. So getting a player selected shouldn't be too hard. They just need to get the right legal opinion on if he should go or not. Like, I don't think he should.
Mm. I think we all agree on that he shouldn't go. Philo and Dr. Ford?
Andrew, it's dangerous to take him back to the UAE. Seven charges, Andrew, for breach of anti-corruption code of the ICC. The serious thing. Cricket West Indies will take lead from the ICC and what to do in this matter. I can't see Cricket West Indies not going out and doing stuff without having the right communication from ICC. ICC is the International Cricket Council, and they're in charge of international cricket. So they're the ones who will have to guide West Indies on how to deal with this as well. But it's a funny situation, Andrew. It's something that is not accustomed happening to West Indian cricketers. Maybe the last person this would have happened to would have been Marlon Samuels. Other than that, we are not, West Indian cricketers are not really match fixers. Maybe that doesn't come into or play. I mean, you look at Devon Thomas, Andrew. He always putting in 100%. We saw him in Australia in a test match. He bowled, he bad, he feel, he was all over the place like an energizer bunny. So you see, when you don't read this, that this man has been charged with, you know, with seven anti-corruption codes. It's a little distasteful. I do hope that, you know, the best thing for him could happen coming out of all of this, and maybe not all seven charges are labeled against him. I will hope that all seven are not, but you don't know this truth in every rumor. So we just have to be patient and see how this pan out. ICC is the people who are going to be watching this, and he will have to get legal representation. They try to argue against the seven charges that are labeled against him at the moment.
Yeah, the thing is that the the way these things are worded, they're very wide, and the net is cast to you know, collect as much as possible, because when you really look at it, it says contriving or being party to an agreement to fix or attempt to fix, contrive or influence, importantly, the result, progress, conduct, or aspects of matches. So the thing is, you don't have to actually be the person trying to do it, but knowledge of it or being around someone who's doing it and knowing about it is enough to be charged. But I think...
But knowledge is enough. You're right.
Knowledge is enough. So being in the wrong place can be really a bad...
other people have to be charged as well, because
evidently somebody would be doing something to try to mitigate their situation, and other
look at the record of the ICC do not charge players unless they have some kind of evidence. I mean, you look at those players prior who have been charged with similar, and they ended up being guilty and were suspended.
Yeah.
I would think that International Cricket Council has some evidence that they've obviously gone to this level. The Lanka Premier League finished a while ago.
Right.
CPL was last year. It's almost time for it this year. So those two tournaments didn't finish yesterday. They finished a while ago. So therefore, they have been investigated. They obviously have been investigating it for quite some time, you would think, because these tournaments didn't finish.
Yeah, I'm not saying... I'm not saying that such a powerful body would act without solid ground. But I'm saying that the way the charge is written, you just have to know about it and not say anything, and that's bad enough. But I think one of the charges that's pretty significant is the one that speaks to cooperation, to suggest that you may be concealing or tampering or destroying a document or other information. So, the charges are so varied but so incisive that that's the disturbing part about it.
Akeem, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay, you seem a little distracted. Are you speaking to your little daughter in the background?
I'm sorry about that one.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So this is unfortunate. We're hoping that Dr. Shallow will join us very soon. He's consented to be on the show. It's heading to 7 o'clock, and I'm hoping that he can come and certainly talk about this, because this is most unfortunate. All right, just before you come in, Akeem, we've got to pause for business, because I know that Tony Gray wants to make another comment, but of course we got to pause for that business, because Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, with the very good friends at ASF White Rum, the best shot of the day.
Yes, AC, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right. Yeah, Akeem, you were saying before we went to the break? Akeem?
Hi, I'm hearing you now, Andrew.
Right. Okay. You were saying before we went to the break, you were making a point?
Oh, no, it's just, again, I was reiterating just about that. You know, if he is proven guilty, and I think Barry would have pointed out that the ICC aren't an ad hoc organization. They I'm 100% assured that they would have been investigating and they would have compiled a lot of evidence in support of those charges they would have made. So it's pretty likely that whatever they have could be concrete enough to prove their case that Mr. Thomas would have been in breach of those codes. Which is, again, it is shocking, as I would have mentioned earlier, Andrew, because it's not something that you usually hear associated with West Indies cricketers. But given how ICC works and given the fact pattern over the years, and whenever they look to charge persons with these breaches, they more than often are very successful in having all implemented against persons in terms of the sanctions. So I maybe would hope from a West Indian perspective, Mr. Thomas could potentially prove innocence, but one would have to think the ICC would have sufficient evidence to prove otherwise at this point in time.
Right. Tony, any reaction to what was just said by Akeem?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, the panelists have taken a very good look at it and obviously talk about the legal part of it. I think that CWR has to not send him to UAE because of the fact that he's going to be a distraction. I mean, when you have reporters now in international sport, they like controversy and you want your team to be focused, fully focused. So I think that he has to be pulled from the team. He has to be spoken to. As Phil Wallace rightly said, he has to be given that profound help because it's not an easy situation. Remember, these are public issues that his family will be affected from him, and he will be affected. So the thing about it, you want the rest of the players to be focused, and you don't want the reporters coming and talking about this issue. It will mean that the energy and that unity to be there in the team, and this is going to be a huge distraction if he goes on tour.
Tony Gray, another point too is that we have a new white ball coach. The captain is relatively new, only one series before this. You don't want these kind of things to be clouding their preparation for obviously the qualifiers. You need them to have, you know, players where the players who they want to work with. Devin Thomas is not workable, but if what is going to be over his head, you don't want that in that new setup. You don't want Darren Sammy to be coming in to a squad with a guy who has 7 charges labeled against him by ICC. And you're going into the heart of ICC. ICC is in the UAE. So you don't want those kind of things. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Cricket West Indies have come up with in relation to Devin Thomas. I do hope for his sake that a good resolution, a quick resolution is had, and he can move on with his life and his cricket. And let's try to get West Indies cricket on the right footing. You know, it's just very, very sad, but this is a very ticklish situation there, you know, with 7 charges against a West Indian cricketer.
Right. Okay, well.
Yeah, and I think, Phil, you're right. Yeah, I think Phil is right. The important thing there is a lot of times the public don't know about the synergy of the team. The lead selector just recently talked about the synergy that was there in South Africa. When we did very well, our history in South Africa has not been good. And just recently, we did well in the One Days. and the T20. So we've done well in white ball cricket, and we don't want any distraction. Now, to get into the details of the synergy, you want everybody to be focused on winning. You want everybody to be focused on playing their roles right, so the outcome will be what we want it to be. Now, Devon Thomas cannot concentrate, as Barry rightly said, on cricket with this cloud, serious cloud hanging over his head. So it's appropriate, it makes logical sense to pull him from the team.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I think we can put a wrap on this. Barry, any final thoughts before you go?
No, just that we obviously wait to hear from Cricket West Indies what's the decision. Mm-hmm. And who, perhaps Andrew can probably start looking at who's the alternative. That's a very critical thing. Who can replace Devon Thomas? He's primarily playing, I guess, as a batsman. Who are the persons that can replace Devon Thomas?
Mm. Do you have anyone in mind, Barry?
It's about availability.
Availability.
Because you know West Indies cricket is not about who's the best player on the field, it's about who's available, who wants to play and all that. I think you could look at someone that has been just a developmental player, the young McKenzie. You could look at him. He's been doing really well. He scored a double 100 in the West Indies games. And I think it would be a good way to break him into the team. There's also your very favourite cricketer, Andrew, Kevin Wickham. But, you know, he was not even picked for the Bangladesh.
Mm.
So I would tend to look and see who's performing in that West Indies A series in Bangladesh. And I will look at someone from that side and probably put them in the mix up.
Right. Barry, just before you go, you broke a story during the commentaries on the weekend that Floyd Reefer is the assistant coach. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Well, you can confirm that with your president who's coming on. But my understanding is that's what's mooted, that Floyd is scheduled to be the assistant coach with Darren Sammy.
Okay.
And that, of course, appointment will be for the football side. So that's a pretty good appointment. And it's not unexpected, Andrew. I mean, you look at the fact that Floyd was one of the... I think he was very close to getting the job, from what my understanding is. And he's done the job before. He went to England with the West Indies team. You remember when they fired Pybus wrongfully? He went to England with the West Indies team. And he would have been the coach for a little while until they made a full appointment of Phil Simmons. So Floyd has been there knocking on the door. He also, Andrew, you can't forget that he has done a tremendous job with the CCC. I mean, when you look at over a decade, Floyd has brought a team. And he was the first person to build a franchise in cricket, in West Indies cricket, if you look at it, because the CCC is just that, a franchise. And he can lay claim to having built that team from rock bottom to being a franchise. So I think that there's every opportunity for him now as deputy to Sammy. Don't forget he's Sammy's deputy already with the Solution Kings. And there Sammy would have said, look, I want to work with somebody who I am au fait with and who obviously knows how I operate. So I wouldn't be surprised when that is confirmed.
I see. But Barry, why do you think we're taking so long to get the itinerary for India?
India control everything in world cricket, and they're not going to make any announcements of the itinerary until the IPL is finished.
Ooh.
Because they're going to obviously wait to see, first of all, who of the Indian players will want to come and want to play.
What?
And then they'll make the announcement after that.
Oh dear.
That's just India. This is not the first time this happened. This happened in 2021 as well when they came. Sorry, this happened last year when they came as well.
Right.
They don't make any announcements prior to IPL season. They make announcements after IPL season. Mm. So after the IPL season, they would ratify and say to Cricket West Indies, these are the places we want, and this is the team and the squad that's coming. And I'm quite sure, Andrew, that you're not going to see, probably for the ODIs and T20s, you won't probably see the full top Indian team coming down. Those guys usually take a rest after IPL. Mm. Perhaps you would see Kohli and the other top players for the test. But I doubt very much that they will play in the ODIs and the T20s.
I see. Well, very serious situation. All right, Barry, well, and any word on the coach for the Red Ball?
Oh, you mean Andre Cody?
Assistant coach, yeah.
I haven't heard anything about the assistant coach for the Red Bull, but the Red Bull cricket is not a big deal if you ask me. We're not going to play much Red Bull cricket this year and in the coming years as Cricket West Indies released. Mm. I think that position is a developmental position. That's why they gave Coley, because he's going to be working more so with the A team. Right. And he'll be in a position to travel around the region and watch regional cricket. And I really hope, Andrew, that Darren Sammy is going to be watching regional cricket when the West Indies are touring. I'll be very annoyed if I see Darren Sammy still coaching Pakistan, Zelmi here and there, and being up and down here and there. He has to be committed to going around the region when cricket is not playing, watching regional cricketers and seeing, be almost like a scout, seeing who is developing and who is coming on. I hope that the arrangement is solidified, that he is a
well, in fact, Barry, if I may interrupt you, Dr. Shallow has joined us, so I don't know if you, do you have any questions for your good friend, Dr. Shallow?
I don't know why he's willing to answer.
Dr. Shallow is always willing to answer questions. There you go. Hello, Dr. Shallow. Your good friend Barry is with us. Barry, you want to throw one at Dr. Shallow?
Dr. Shallow, good evening. I hope you're doing well.
Good evening, Barry. Good evening to the panel and all the listeners as usual. Pleasure hearing you on the program, Barry.
Yes, it's good to be on the program. But you know, my grandmother used to tell me, ever so welcome, wait for a call, and I got that call. I guess you can say the same thing about Darren Sammy. He obviously got the call, which made me very strange to think that. Did he qualify, Dr. Shallow, based on the qualifications that you had put out for a coach? Did he qualify without having that level 3 position as a white ball coach or a coach of West Indies cricket?
Yeah, just to echo what I said last week on the program, yes, he's qualified based on the criteria and based on the assessment done. He came to the interview with Flying Colours, and at this point, we wish him all the best for the upcoming tasks ahead, especially the UAE, which is a warm-up for the qualifiers, and then hopefully go on to the World Cup this year and represent the region well.
Dr. Charlotte, it is felt that in some quarters, you know, you would have been heavily critical prior to your appointment and prior to your vice presidency, that you felt that the last administration of West Indies cricket moved the goalposts and also used their own voices to appoint, selecting teams and also individuals. But do you see that happening right now in West Indies cricket? Because there are some players who are in the side that, quote-unquote, don't qualify according to your criteria, your selection criteria.
The selectors have the policy. The selection policy, I think, is one that is clear. It's actually open to the public as well. I'd be surprised if you haven't read it yourself, Barry. And, you know, I think that based on the criteria set out there, it's clear if a player is available. In the case of Shimron Hetmyer, who recently confirmed his availability, and, you know, he was just not selected for the series. Yes, it speaks to commitment and all of that as a consideration, but, you know, the thing with something like commitment is very subjective, and you just have to trust the discretion of the selectors with where that is concerned. But then there are other areas which, you know, are clear as day in terms of the actual stats, and you would hope that those, you know, probably carry a bit more weight than the subjective criteria. But, you know, I think at this point, I'm quite happy to hear that most players are saying that they're available. We still want to get all of our players available, and at the right time, I'm hoping the discussions going to take place so that, you know, we could widen our talent pool, because it's already limited, and it's important that we have access to all the players.
I was actually referring to Yannick Carrier, who does not play T20 cricket, but is selected for the T20 team. I believe for one of the criteria states that a player should be playing for their particular franchise in that format if they're to be selected. I mean, it goes on to say if they have been overly outstanding and with the permission of the director of cricket, they can still be selected. But a player who is not even making it in a CPL side is making a T20 West Indies side. Does that also well for those who are working so hard and playing in the T20, getting a pick for the franchises and performing? What does it say to them? Do they feel like, well, the board is going to select who they want, so perhaps we should try?
The panel does have the option of identifying, you know, those persons who they think, you know, are exceptional or could make an immediate impact and sort of move away from the criteria. If you read, I can't remember what clause or what exactly it is, but it's there that they just have to conform to the DOC. The DOC, once he or she approves, then they obviously could select. Of course, in the case of Yannick, I mean, it's clear that Yannick was selected after the last CPL. I'd be quite surprised if he's not in a CPL team this year. Unfortunately, we don't have a domestic T20 tournament, but he won't have had an opportunity since being selected to play domestic cricket, but in T20, that is.
Well, of course, we'll have to wait, Andrew, if that does materialize. Mm-hmm. But we were speaking prior to selection. I'd be surprised if he's picked this year, to tell the truth. I looked at the retentions. Obviously, he won't be in a retention, not having never played. But I'd be surprised if he fits into the scheme of things in T20 cricket. So I watched that with very eagerly, Andrew, because I don't feel that a player should play for West Indies if they're not playing in the domestic tournament. And the CPL is the leading domestic tournament. And if he's going to be playing T20 cricket, he must be in one of those franchises, or he should not be selected.
No, Doc, of course, we make it a very regional program. We got Akeem Green from Guyana with us, and Brandon Carter has joined us. Somebody's dog is keeping it. Is that your dog, Barry?
Wait, Andrew, you know what happened to my dog? No, that's not my dog.
So the answer is no then.
No.
Akeem, your dogs are barking there. I thought they were Murphy's.
It could be my neighbor's dog, actually.
Oh, I didn't know you were that close. I didn't know you were that close to your neighbor.
Right.
neighbor. No, Dr. Shallow, Barry Wilkinson of the Weekend said that Floyd Reefer is the assistant coach for the white ball.
Neighbor's dog, actually.
Oh, I didn't know you were that close. I didn't know you were that close to your neighbor. neighbor. No, Dr. Shallow, Barry Wilkinson of the Weekend said that Floyd Reefer is the assistant coach for the white ball. Of course, to Darren Sammy. Is there any truth in that, Dr. Shallow?
Those backroom staff about the tests and the white ball, they are currently, they should be finalized no later than tomorrow. I think at this point, is the CEO is working with the different individuals identified to finalize the contract. So, I mean, it'd be premature of me to sort of
Andy, you know what you think would be a great replacement for Devon Thomas? You asked me that question earlier.
Right.
I would pick Carlos Brathwaite as his replacement.
Carlos Brathwaite.
Andrew, Carlos Brathwaite was removed, quote unquote, from West Indies cricket on ceremoniously. Carlos Brathwaite, in the last game that he played, I think he almost won the game for West Indies when he played against England. That was in the 50 over.
Right.
But Carlos Brathwaite, you look at how he's been performing, is the ideal person that's in form and the ideal person that has the experience that can fit into that side.
Well, I think we should ask Dr. Shallow if he qualifies. Does Carlos Brathwaite qualify, Doc?
Why won't he? In fact, so the last time I spoke to Carlos, which is a few weeks ago,
wonderful.
I asked him, you know, if he is open to playing international cricket. I mean, I'm not a selector, but we were having a casual conversation,
right?
And he confirmed that he has never retired from international cricket.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful indeed. Akeem, you're with us, of course. Brandon Corliss has joined us. We got Tony Gray and, of course, Philo Wallace and Dr. Ford. Akeem, any questions for President Shallow?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, for example, Rayon Griffith. I know he's the head coach of the team currently in Bangladesh. For those portions that would have been a part of the setup, is it likely, in terms of coaching Dr. Shallow, is it likely we're going to see them continue in those roles, whether it be with the actual senior team or the teams or the academies?
They are being considered for sure. The process is, Akeem, is that the head coaches, they identify the assistant coaches and the other backroom staff, and they make the suggestion to the DOC, and the DOC, where they would go through a process of, you know, rationalizing why, and then those would come to the board for ratification, you know. By that time, you know, there'll be negotiations so that the board will have an idea of, the kind of remuneration package and so on they receive. So we're near that process where you know, you would have an idea of a couple of the persons who are likely to come before the board. But at this point, I can't confirm to you in this forum who they are.
Mm, I see. Brandon called us to join us. Dr. Ford, any questions? Brandon, any questions for the president?
Hi, good evening. Good evening to all the listeners as well. Dr. Shalu, in terms of the regional 48 championship moving forward, is it the 5 matches and the 3 matches in the Headley series, Headley Week series, or should we expect more changes in the West Indies 48 championship?
Currently, we're exploring some options for the franchise system. Last year, we did a review of the system. We have quite a few recommendations before the board. The subcommittees were just confirmed last week, I think a week or 12. And those committees, they are going to be, I guess, meeting pretty soon, which includes the Cricket Development and Performance Committee. We are going to await some further feedback or suggestions from that committee so that we can know how do we go forward with the not only the first class season but the 50 overs and other domestic tournaments.
Okay, and in terms of contracts for the first class players and the listed players, when should we expect the newly contracted players?
All that is being discussed now. We had some meetings. We had a series of meetings pertaining to the franchise system over the last week and a half. And, you know, those include different stakeholders, WIPA, the board, others, and so on. And we are trying to, either way, we have to finalize these things within the next couple of weeks. But the contracts generally, they end June 30th, at the end of June. The new contracts are supposed to start thereafter.
Oh, June 30th. One more for me, if I may.
Sure.
I'm sure you might have seen or heard the news about Vishal Singh.
Right.
He wasn't paid by the Guyana Cricket Board. And I know CWI had intervened, WIPA as well. But what's your take on the entire issue, Dr. Shalu?
Yeah, quite frankly, Brandon, I don't really have enough information on that particular situation to comment much. It's something I have to probably reach out to the GCB and even Vishal to get a better perspective on what is happening. Whatever it is, I really hope that it is resolved amicably. Someone like Vishal, very intelligent cricketer, and he certainly has a lot to give back to West Indies cricket, whether it's continuing as a player or as a coach or whatever area he chooses to go. So I just hope that, you know, very soon they can resolve that situation.
Mm-hmm. All right, gentlemen, we're going to go to break. Stay with us. Lots of WhatsApp messages as well in terms of questions. And, of course, when we come back, we want to get some reaction from Dr. Shalu in relation to this very unfortunate situation involving Devon Thomas. But Mason and Guest, brought in association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yeah. Doctor, your reaction to this very sad situation involving Devon Thomas, suspended by the ICC, 7 charges, a very serious one, contriving to fix matches in the Lanka Premier League, Abu Dhabi T10 and CPL. Your reaction to all this, Doctor?
It's a difficult one. It certainly shocked me when I woke up this morning and got the news. I'm hoping that, you know, the matter is dealt with swiftly. So one way or the other, we know what the facts are. I could say at this point, because already in the program I listened to Barry, someone is probably suggesting that, you know, he be pulled from the tour. Probably Tony was suggesting that he be pulled from the tour. I don't think there's an option there. I think, in fact, the selectors have been advised to name a replacement. He's suspended, you know, immediately. So he would definitely be replaced in the squad going to UAE.
Mm. Dr. Ford, any reaction, any questions?
Yes. Dr. Shallow, I'm glad we came on the topic of Devin Thomas, you know, a young cricketer on the cloud and cricket being his livelihood. There are many repercussions. I suspect that may mean he may not be able to retain his franchise contract, and that would mean a financial blow to him if that is the case, but certainly not being able to play international cricket because of suspension will be a blow. And we even think of John Campbell, who is under a WADA sanction at present. And early in the year, we've spoken to a representative of WIPA, and we were able to learn that WIPA depends on most of its revenue and most of its funding through, you know, contractual and other agreements with Cricket West Indies. But in the case of cricketers as like these two gentlemen, or let's say a cricketer whose child becomes ill, or a cricketer who becomes disabled, or a cricketer who falls on hard times or otherwise, what are the obligations of Cricket West Indies to help these individuals who come under difficulties? Because since most of the revenue comes from Cricket West Indies, what happens to players in this type of situation?
Well, to start, right, we have to continue our drive to sensitize the players about the risks of, you know, corruption and doping and these different things in the game. WIPA has done a tremendous job over the years, and I suspect that has helped us to, you know, sort of prevent more cases like this. But we have to put provision in place for players. There are different things we could explore, whether pension plan and all these things that I suspect could be considered seriously once we stabilize our finances and so on. But these things are very important, Dr. Ford, because it offers, you know, stability, confidence. We also have to ensure that players are aware of opportunities after playing, you know, and there are quite a few that, you know, whether it's commentary, whether it's physio, whether it's, you know, multiple areas that we see surfacing these days. We have to sensitize them about these options and get them, you know, in program before, so that the transition would be seamless. And I think if we could address it, you know, from multiple angles, then, you know, you will probably get a better start of more commitment from players during their career, and hopefully, you know, we could help to avoid situations like what we see in here with Devon and a couple others as well.
Well, you know, I'm getting back really to the financial aspect, and from speaking to the Reaper representative, I was essentially ridiculed for suggesting that WIPA could do more than trying to get into agreements with you, because I know the equivalent English body has raised almost $250 million, maybe just trying to raise funds in other ways outside of the board and independently. So if it is that WIPA as a body feels that it is obligated to just get revenue through Cricket West Indies, which we know has several obligations and already has financial issues, is it that we need another board or another entity to really look after cricketers that may not make the big time in the international teams and may have various unfortunate things happen to them, that they may need support financially or pensions or bailouts? Do you think that maybe there's something that is missing for all those people who dedicate themselves to cricket in the region that are less accomplished or fortunate?
It's certainly a question for the players. And what I could say at this point is that, I mean, Wave Lines and the majority of the executive, is not, if not all the executive, they have just been reappointed on a post, probably I think the sixth time. And that is definitely confidence in the executive from their members. So
the lack of interest too.
I suspect it is confidence. And, you know, if the members do believe that they need greater representation, I'm sure they won't be shy of letting them know one way or the next. But I take your point, Dr. Ford, and it is important that we offer players, and, you know, we see different challenges coming up. We see the leagues popping up we see the decline in interest for red ball cricket. And, you know, all stakeholders, you know, CWI, WIPA, and others, government, private sector, we all have to come together and find a way that we could, you know, rescue the situation. Because if we don't, we stem to lose. This is just the start, right? And it is critical that we adjust these things sooner than later.
Okay. Do you think that maybe there's also a difficulty in the speed of which decisions may be made? Because when you think of the operations and the timelines, usually when, let's say, you need a new coach or coaches appointed and you have to determine who the support staff is or things that have to be done. I'm asking you, as a new president, are you pleased with the timelines for dissemination of information, decision-making? Is the board structurally efficient to deliver information in a reasonable, timely manner, or would you like to see some improvement there?
Yeah, because of my background in business, I am far from bureaucratic. Right, and what I believe is in utmost efficiency, because that's what I know. However, we have to respect due process, and you know sometimes it's better. A friend of mine put it recently that it is better to do it properly once than have to, you know, always be going back and repeating yourself and correct errors. So it's about understanding the process. Probably what we need to do better is communicate to our stakeholders those processes, so that people get a greater appreciation for why some decisions, you know, take a bit longer than you would like, you know. But it is about getting the best decisions and so on. And you have to be consistent with this as well, Dr. Ford.
Right.
It would be also good to give some timelines and to say, well, something will be done by a certain date to keep the dogs off, like Andrew and others who clamor for information, Barry. If they know something is going to happen by a certain time, you understand your process and how it rolls out, then I think it's reasonable to set a timeline so that people won't be wondering and asking a question when you could answer it and preemptively.
So some of it is obviously unavoidable, but I do agree with you that, you know, we have to improve our communication. It's something that is certainly on my agenda. Improving the way we communicate with everyone, you know, the media, the fans, the players, our service providers. You know, we have to do a better job at this, and I'm fully committed to doing this. But I mean, we're only about 2 months into the tenure, so
right.
let's give it a little time, Dr. Ford.
It's 7:25 in the country. Of course, you can send us your WhatsApp messages 4241790. Brandon Corlett is with us, noted journalist, along with Akeem Green. And, of course, we've got Phil O'Wallace and Tony Gray. My question to you, Dr. Shallow, most immediate, the Indians are coming. Barry Wilkinson was on the show earlier, and he said that they're not going to talk, you know, too much about West Indies cricket after the IPL is completed. Any further word on that full itinerary? I know that Brandon knows that there are games in Guyana. We heard that there are going to be some games, of course, being played in Barbados. But can you give us any further update? The Indians are on their way here, you know, Doctor.
Not just yet.
No?
They're not on their way yet. They're finishing IPL, as Barry confirmed earlier.
I know that. But what is the problem? I know that the people in India can be, as we say, a bit miserable, as we say in Caribbean parlance. But can you tell the Caribbean people what is the big problem?
There's not a big problem. You know, again, it's just one of those things that, you know, has taken a bit longer than we anticipate. But we are confident that very soon, at least this is the feedback I got from my CEO up to this morning, that, you know, it's just a matter of probably days before we could, you know, announce.
So you think by Friday we can get the full that itinerary, possibly? By Friday?
It would probably be great if that is done, but let's give it till next week, Andrew, just to be on the safe side.
Right. Brandon, can you confirm that the Guyana Cricket Board, they've been told about the matches that they're covering? Brandon?
August 6th.
August 6th and August 8th, two T20 matches at Providence. Mm. The Guyana Cricket Board confirmed that on their socials. So we should expect the Indians in Guyana. Mm.
Is that true, Dr. Shallow?
As I said on the program last week, Andrew, that the venues, the host venues, they're quite aware
right.
of the matches they're hosting and the likely dates. All of them, they probably maybe at a change here and there, but not give and take a day, right? So that's the issue. We want to ensure that we finalize all these dates before we make the announcement. But the venues, the host venues, because obviously they have to start their preparation. Some have started the preparation of hosting the India series.
Mm.
And in some cases, it's advanced. But just give us a few more days, mm-hmm. and you're going to have those dates and venues.
We got an interesting WhatsApp message coming in. Of course, Akeem, feel free to jump in. Of course, fellow Wallace as well. I know you've got one or two questions for your good friend, Dr. Shallow. This is an interesting one coming in, and it is saying, Dr. Shallow, you did in fact announce last week that the contract is going to be up for Director of Cricket Jamie Adams by June, and the writer is asking, have you received any applications as yet?
We haven't received any application. Your application could only come after a process has started, right? But what I confirmed last week was that his contract was out the 30th of June,
right?
And that is a fact.
Mm. And when do you expect us to start getting applications? Because I would imagine that. Once your contract.
Well, a decision has to be confirmed with the DOC, and when that is done, then you know we could communicate that to you as well, Andrew, as usual.
Right.
We'll get okay. that information to you on the rest of the media.
I see. Interesting, Brandon. Fellow, anybody want to comment on that, fellow?
And the question I had for the president,
yeah.
Shallow. First of all, are you happy with? It's a two-fold question, really. Are you happy with Brian Lara's role, because he's had a cameo role in the last series against Zimbabwe and then against South Africa, and is that role going to continue?
Mm.
And then secondly, the same Brian Lara, a former judge or a current judge, I believe, and others would have done a report for you which would indicate that they want to have the availability more known of West Indies players going forward so they can pick a squad. Having said that, are you happy with this whole freelance system of West Indies cricket where you have to compile players and see who's available and you don't know who you're going to pick for when? So that's a two-fold question I want to put to you.
No.
Based on the feedback from players, management who have engaged Brian, quite positive. They are players who have articulated examples of, you know, the exchanges with him that has, you know, already manifested in some positive results. I could go on record to name Alec Atanes, who credited Brian, you know,
right.
to say that his time in South Africa with him helped him when he returned to the Caribbean to perform as he did in the first class season. And others have expressed similar sentiments, so I have no reason to doubt that he is making a positive impact on the team. His contract ends next year. I can't remember which month, but he still has at least another 7 months or so on his contract. With regards to players' availability, we have to have the conversation with the players. At this point, I can't say there's one player who has made himself or herself unavailable for selection officially. So it is really for the director of cricket and the selectors, mainly the lead selectors, to reach out to the players, you know, probably have a forum where, you know, probably one-on-one in some cases. And just to confirm the availability of those players, probably it would help if we have that extended schedule so that, you know, players could get an appreciation of their own personal obligations. Because bear in mind, you know, Barry, and I've always said this, I plan to be consistent with it, that we want players to make money. This is their profession, a life of a cricketer, for a sports, you know, person, very, very short. And where possible, if they can go and play these leagues, then we are happy for them. What we want, though, is for them to also be available for international duties to represent West Indies. And by us communicating, we would certainly understand that, and hopefully with more confidence in the system, with some frank discussions, then we'll be able to have these players available at all times, and so that we could always have our best 11 on the field.
I would ask Dr. Shallow. Sorry, Barry's going.
That's a quick follow-up question regarding the regional cricket and saying that you want the players to make money. Cricket West Indies have hired an international agency to solicit advertising and sponsorship, but we have no regional sponsors for regional cricket for quite a while now. Does that concern you? Because our regional tournament should definitely be sponsored, and it is not. How are we moving forward to have that sponsored, and what is being done in that marketing department to get some sponsorship for regional cricket?
It is a massive concern, Barry. It's something that we would like change soonest, because I mean we need the resources, we need the revenue. However, we have to be, you know, aware and cognizant of the economic challenges, not unique to the region, but you know, globally. And taking all that into consideration, you know, it's about sort of increasing our efforts to secure those partners. What I've done recently is form a subcommittee, commercial and marketing. This was absent for the last couple of years. So that committee is in place with a group of experts from across the region, and who I am sure that they are going to, you know, put their heads together and ensure that, you know, we come up with ideas of how we could increase our revenue, diversify our revenue streams and so on. So, you know, I have a lot of confidence in that committee, and I'm really banking on them to help us to generate more revenue, including those sponsors from across the region.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Now, Philo, just before you come in, Shakira Selman has just got a couple minutes. I know that she's a very, very busy lady. We thought it was important after that very big victory against the defending champions for her to come on the show to explain what happened. So we're going to spend just a couple of minutes with her. I know that she's had to rush back to that big posh hotel, the five-star hotel there in St. Kitts. Hello, Shakira. How are you? Congratulations on the big victory against Jamaica.
Hi, Andrew. I'm good. Thank you. Good night to all the listeners.
Say good night to your boss, Dr. Shallow.
Good night, Mr. President.
Hi, Shakira. Good night and congrats. To you and
Barbados
team.
Thank you.
Shakira, I know you don't have a lot of time. What's responsible for that big victory today against Jamaica? I saw some of it. You performed very well.
Yeah, I think it was a complete team effort. But most of all, the Bahers have finally put up their hands in this T20 part, this 2020 part of the tournament. So it was really good to see. We only lost one wicket.
Yes.
We had Aaliyah Aleem get to her 50 not out. So it's really good to see the senior batters step up for the team.
And note with interest, you won the toss and you chose to bowl first. That proved to be a very good decision because you restricted Jamaica to under 100.
Yeah, we wanted to bowl first because we knew we had been bowling well. We wanted to put Jamaica on the back foot. And give the batters time to bat so they wouldn't be under pressure to put a total on the board. I think it worked out perfectly for us.
Yeah, you bowl well. It's particularly you kept Taylor very quiet. I saw that line just on top of the off stump. You bowl well.
Yeah, it's always a challenge when I'm bowling at Stefani. Obviously, she is a legend in the game.
Yes.
But I always enjoy bowling to her, and we've played together for so long, so we know each other very well. Today came out on top, and I'm happy with that.
You have a 14-year-old playing for Barbados. The commentators were saying that.
Yeah, we do. Tiani Herbert-Mears. And she was excellent for us today with the ball. Bowled four overs on the trot to West Indies batters. And I think she got one wicket for maybe less than 20. So she was really good.
Tell us about her. I mean, 14 years. Is she the youngest player in the competition, I would think?
I think there is another 14-year-old, perhaps from Trinidad. She two bowls off spin.
Okay.
So it's really good to see that the younger players are getting some exposure and experience at the senior level. And they've done really well. I think that 14-year-old I'm talking about, I think she perhaps took three today for Trinidad. But Tiani was really good for us. Her first game in the tournament. she had exams, another game, and we wanted to play her, but she used her opportunity well today, and we're really proud of the effort she put out.
Fellow Dr. Ford, any of the guys there want to ask Shakira a question before she goes, Fellow?
Yeah, I just want to say congrats to Shakira. Obviously, you're leading the side in the absence of regular captain Haley Matthews. How has that been going for you? Obviously, you have success. The transitioning from the player, the leadership. We don't hear a lot from your head coach, Corey Gallimore. So I would like to know. No, I'm very serious about it. When I come to Barbados, I'm going to speak to him about it at the BCA. I would like to know what he's doing, because he's left West Indies women's cricket and he's now back at Barbados women's cricket. You've had him at West Indies and Barbados. So I would just like to know what synergies and what methods of coaching he's using that he's bringing success to Barbados women.
thank you, first of all. Corey is a very good coach. Like you said, we've worked with him for a while, obviously at West Indies level and at Barbados level for a couple of years. And the team has done really well under his coaching. He's worked really well alongside Ryan, of course, and the girls enjoy working with them both. They're quite laid back, and I'm sure you know that, Philo. Anything else, you have to take it with Corey.
Yes.
But the girls have worked really well with him, and we seem to be performing. We're getting the results.
Dr. Ford, any questions for
Sir? If I had to be honest, I mean, the standard of the regional cricket is not very good for the women. It's a concern. I mean, when you look at some of the highlights, I haven't seen all of the games, I've seen some of the highlights. And when you look at the highlights, you have some women, not talking about the Barbados team, but in your opposing side, they can't even hold the bat properly. And it doesn't look to me, in some aspects, like professional tournament. What if you had to give Cricket West Indies some advice about how you have travelled the world? What would you tell them to improve women's cricket? Because it needs to be improved, and it has shown when we pick the best 11, we are not doing well internationally. And I think when seeing the regional sides, I now see why. What would you advise Cricket West Indies to do to get the women's cricket improved in a tremendous way? Because it needs to be improved.
Well, I agree with you. The standard hasn't been very good this year. I too have expressed my disappointment at the standard. But what I would say is that I expect improvement. I think Cricket West Indies is obviously investing more into the junior cricket, junior level. And we only just took part in the Under-19 World Cup. And like I pointed out, you're seeing more junior girls being involved in the senior level. I think there's a mandate where at least two girls are supposed to, under-19s or under-21s, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. President, if you know, but under-21 players are supposed to be in the squad. I think that is an initiative which would only bode well for us in the future. I think you can only get better by playing competitive cricket. I've always been adamant about that. Obviously, the regional tournament has been a lot shorter before, and it has lengthened now, so we will get better the more the girls play competitive cricket.
Doctor?
Salman, I have to commend you. You've been incredibly articulate during this interview, and I must commend the ladies that have been a part of the show over the last 3 weeks. And I would say that the ladies have been able to be more incisive and thoughtful in their comments about the game as leaders and members than the competitive men's team representatives. I'd like to ask you to tell us a little bit about the training you've had in terms of facing the media, and what you've done to develop the art of giving information to the public and being involved in interviews.
Shakira, before you answer that, Shakira, I want to tell the doctor that, Shakira, you should tell the doctor that 21 years ago, when I met you playing at the
club, Sheffield.
Yes, I identified Shakira and said, this young lady speaks so well. You're talking about 21 years ago, Doc. She was playing for Copa Merit there at that time. And she was not, she hasn't done started playing cricket.
Up and on.
Always had a knack for speaking extremely well, and I just think that Shakira speaking for you, I think I have no come natural for you, and that's probably why you're so articulate. But you could perhaps answer the doc's question. I just had to get that in because 21 years.
I thought you were going to take the credit, Barry.
I like that.
Commentary. 21 years ago, I told her that.
Yes. Shakira?
Yes, I remember. Thank you, Barry. I think Barry explained it just now. I think I've probably always been pretty articulate. The main thing is that I'm not afraid to face the media. I embrace the questions, and yeah, I'm pretty clear about what I want to say. It's obviously helped going to school at Comer.
Up and on.
Yeah, up and on.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's my best explanation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I see. So just before you go, Shakira,
so
it's a rest day tomorrow?
Yes, definitely. It was a tough game today, so rest day tomorrow, and then we take home and we're mm-hmm. the day after.
Okay, so you got a chance of doing everything, then bringing home the full bacon, the whole hog, as they say in Barbados, the 50 over, and of course the T20.
Yeah, as long as we win our next two games, then we'll be doing the double.
Oh, really? And it's the Windward, and then followed by the Leeward.
And then Leeward.
Okay, and you should win those, shouldn't you?
We're not going to get too boastful, but you know, cricket is played on the day. But yeah, we do expect to win against those two teams.
And where are these games going to be played? At Warner Park?
Warner Park.
Or both games?
Okay. At Warner Park.
How are the conditions at Warner Park been? Good?
Pretty good. All of the T20 games have been played at Warner Park. Right. I think the pitch has held up pretty good. Obviously, it has slowed a bit, but pretty good. We were able to chase on 99 today, only losing one wicket. Yes, so pretty good. Can't fault the groundsman.
And people are watching or not really?
Not really. We've been quite disappointed with the cold turnout, but I think we have played quite a few games during the week. So people are at work, of course. Yeah.
I see.
But I see lots of people have been watching on YouTube. So
yes, we'll take that. Yeah, indeed. Well, we want to thank you. Of course, we'd invite you back next Tuesday as the champions. You've done so well. I thought you handled the side very well. I thought you were very tactically astute. You know, I've given captains over the years trouble because I believe, unlike Dr. Ford, that a captain is important. He always talks about this collective responsibility, but captains do, in fact, win matches. And I thought you had your side very well in terms of your bowling manipulations. You came back to set a very tight field in the offside, Dr. Ford, and you bowled the last over, and you did very well.
Thank you very much.
All right, so thanks. Enjoy.
One more for Shakira before she goes, Andrew. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. Yes, Brandon?
Barbados has been very successful over the years. It's no secret. And I really can't say the same for Guyana women's cricket. But Shakira, tell us some of the programs you guys have in place in Barbados and some of the works and the tournaments that you guys played, you know, towards the build-up to the regional tournament.
Fortunately for us, firstly, we do have a lot of West Indies players or players who have represented West Indies in the last few years in our Barbados team. But we have been able to take part in the men's tournament for the last couple of years. So credit to BCA for allowing us to take part in those tournaments. Just before we left, we would have been taking part in the T20 Shield. So it would have assisted the girls, especially playing against tougher opponents. But what I would tell you, Brandon, is Guyana does have a number of good players coming up. It's just for them to find a way to put it together and execute on the day.
Mm, I see. Well, enjoy your rest day tomorrow. And I know that you have a big posh hotel. Dr. Ford tells me that you're staying at the 5-star. Is that a 5-star hotel you're staying at there in St. Kitts?
I think so. It feels like one.
It feels like
credit to Cricket West Indies again. First time the ladies have been able to stay at a hotel of such rating. So we are very comfortable.
Is it the Marriott's? Is it the Marriott's? Is it?
It is.
Yes. Yeah. Well done, Dr. Shallow. Well done to putting the ladies at the marriage. Thanks, Shakira. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Or when we come back, we continue our chat with, of course, Dr. Shallow Mason and guest Broughton Association with the very good friends at ASFE Workroom, the best shot of the day.
ASFE Workroom. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da
say is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, we go straight to Tony Gray. Tony, anything for the president?
Yes, good evening, Dr. Shallow. How are you?
Hey, Tony, I was thinking that you're rather quiet tonight, man. I'm happy to hear you.
Well, Barry has taken up a lot of the program. Yeah, the one question I want to ask you, because money has always been an issue. You talk about revenue streams, and you set up a committee to look at the marketing part of it and the commercial part of it. We know that the product is growing, which is West Indies cricket, and it's not as strong, so sponsors might not be inclined to gravitate towards us to lend assistance where finances is concerned. But what about the legacy left by the 2007 World Cup, where you have, you know, stadia throughout the Caribbean? And I know it has to be a collaborative effort with the different ministers and governments of the region. What about marrying the cultures and the different cultures that we have, the different dishes, the different festivals, the different religious events that we have in the Caribbean with cricket, so that we can get finances into the coffers, much needed finances. I mean, if you look at what Stanford did, he went on to do things in the right way, understanding the marketability of the product, use reggae music and things like that. What can be done to create more income streams where the marrying of the culture and what we have, which is stadia throughout the Caribbean?
Great observation there, Pierre, with questions. Tony, I mean, in 2007, for at least a couple of years after that, some argue strongly that, you know, that we have seen a decline in the interest of, you know, attendance at matches in the region, because you went to some of the matches and you didn't feel as though you were in the Caribbean, as opposed to prior, when, you know, you went in with your pans and all these different things, and you had the rhythm section, you had, you know, masks and coolers and so on, and persons felt as though that was sort of taken away somewhat with all the restrictions because of obviously security and all these different things. Fortunately, we have seen those things, you know, return to international cricket venues over the years. And I think that with the World Cup here in the region next year, in June 2024, to be precise, it gives us another opportunity to showcase the West Indies culture.
Yeah, but
culture.
In addition to that, what about events? I mean, chutney events, sets, venue. Are we marketing the stadium in the right way? Because I know the governments of the region will have to take care of the different stadiums. But, you know, if they can have a collaborative effort where there can be an agreement to take some of the revenue towards CWI and West Indies Cricket, and for them to use some of the revenue to maintain those expensive stadia, right. Can that be done? I'm talking about events,
right.
Specific cultural events and religious events too.
You mean apart from the cricket?
Apart from the cricket, that's right.
Okay, so you're speaking about having these tournaments, these events separate from cricket that would obviously generate revenue for the, whether it's the sports councils or whoever, you know, own the facilities across the region. That's what you're speaking about, right?
Yeah, it's like England going to Barbados. Barbados is highly dependent on tourism. And in fact, all the islands are dependent on tourism from different levels, obviously. So, you know, I mean, it can be a package.
Right. Dr. Shallow, before you answer that question, we got to pause for a business cause to ensure that we get our commercials in. We don't want to get into any trouble. So, Mason and Guest brought in association with our good friends at ASFE Wet Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth.
break it down or you can't qualify. Just sing this song, tell me bartender, ESO is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESO is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Right. And after you answer the question from my good friend Tony Gray, someone is writing, ask Dr. Shallow if a director should be a manager. Is that a conflict of interest? I believe he's talking about Dwayne Gill.
Yeah, so, I mean, Tony, I'm aware that, you know, there are different activities and events that take place at these, you know, stadiums across the region. Most of them would host, you know, carnival shows and other events, and, you know, that is a way to generate money. And the truth is, it's probably not adequate to maintain the facilities, because I think that is one of the concerns, that a lot of the facilities, you know, still in need of upgrades and maintenance. And so it's to strike a balance. But we see in those stadia across the region, they were all built mainly for World Cup cricket in 2007.
Right.
And that is one of the reluctance that some of the governments had at the time, because they're saying, well, are we going to have these facilities only for cricket, which we have two tours per year, and then, you know, we don't all get matches every year and so on. And it's continued to be a challenge, obviously, because of the international fixtures. But I'm hoping that with you know, the investment in 2007 would mean that less investment next year for the World Cup. And, you know, they would be able to generate some money. There's a significant host fee available for the World Cup. So those venues are going to definitely benefit, and hopefully that would keep them, you know, comfortable for a while, not complacent, meaning that they may be able to invest and, you know, generate more revenue. With regards to the other question there, it depends. If it's a permanent position, then obviously a director would have to resign before taking up that post. Also, there's our constitution doesn't allow for a director to get a salary for any position, right? So that is not the case with Dwayne Gill, who is really serving in the position as a substitute for someone who was unavailable. So the first preference was unavailable, and Dwayne, you know, because of his experience, he has gone to Bangladesh twice, including 2016 when he won the World Cup with the under-19 boys. He was the manager then. And because of his experience in a place like Bangladesh at the 18 level, you know, the board thought it was good to have someone like that for a couple of weeks. That is all it was.
So there's no conflict.
Dr. Shallow, I want those to say to you, Dr. Shallow, I would not like Cricket West Indies to fall into the quote-unquote hypocrisy trap that you would have accused the last administration of. They were accused several times of these acts of hypocrisy. And I think that if you look very carefully, they might have had similar reason to do the things that they have done, but they were heavily accused and criticized and condemned. So I'm just saying to you, you still need to be very careful not to fall into that trap and to do things perhaps, I don't want to say above board, because there's not that you do anything beneath board, but I just want to say I would not hate to think that you guys would fall into that same trap that you accused the last administration of.
Well, what I would say to Barry, and again, the one reason why I sat down and did a manifesto before getting into this position is that I have a document to guide me. And you would see, if you make reference to the pillar, human capital, where I speak about, you know, getting the best persons in positions. You know, this is what I talk about. It's more competence and you know, meriting being placed in position more than anything else. And I have no doubt that Dwayne Gill is an exceptional manager. He has proven that. And, you know, if he gets the opportunity for a couple of weeks, certainly, you know, as a substitute for someone else, I don't see an issue with it. But I take your point, Barry, and certainly you will not find me, you know, in any position, you know, sort of, you know, making an appointment based on nepotism or anything like that.
But Dr. Shallow, is there a conflict of interest?
I answer that, Andrew. There's no conflict of interest.
But who does he report to? He's a director.
Who does the manager report to generally? The manager doesn't report to the board.
But he's part of the board. Is he going to recluse managers himself? Is he going to recluse himself from these meetings then? Is that what you're saying?
It is basic practice that anything to do with an individual, whether it is manager or any other position, right? Once it involves the individual, he or she recuses himself from the board.
But you wouldn't want that. But you wouldn't want that situation, though, ideally. I can't see an ECB director being a manager of an A team.
We don't even know who the ECB managers are, who the team managers are for the ECB. Mm. So this for me is not an important matter, Andrew. I mean, there are other things we could probably get in over the next 2 minutes. That's far more important than this.
Andrew, I want to ask Dr. Shallow.
Yes.
Andrew Cole is being elevated now to the permanent Red Bull coach. He was in charge of the HBC. Who's going to replace him? Are there any applicants replacing him? Mm. No, you spoke about the assistant coaches coming in. Is there a committee to interview these candidates? Who's the lead in that on that committee to go through those applicants who are looking to become the assistant coaches to the red ball and white ball coaches?
There's not an application process for the support staff, meaning the assistant coaches. Again, I outlined the process a while ago where the head coach identified people. Running by the DOC, they approve eventually. It's not a recruitment process per se. In with regards to the first question you asked the fellow, that post is going to be vacant from the end of this month, I think. We are going to recruit someone to replace him. That process is yet to start, but it's expected to be start over the next few weeks.
All right. Well, I want to thank you. Time is, caught up with us. Brandon, it's a pity you weren't able to actually get some more questions in. I know time is tight. We're going to try and ask for some more time on the show. But it was a pleasure having you, Dr. Shallow, on the call. But I don't agree with you in relation to the Dwayne Gwynn situation. I think it's a very serious situation. Dwayne is also the president of the Dwayne Woods board. He is the acting CEO of the franchise there, and he's also director, and he's also your manager. And you would want, perhaps, Doctor, to reflect on that. I think that is something that I wouldn't really want to see going forward in West Indies cricket. I must admit that. And I don't agree with you. That is a small issue. I think it's a very big issue, and it's something that I think you need to look at. All right. Now, in terms of the games, I understand before we go, it's just 30 seconds to go. I understand, Barry, that the Gladio Picnic game is going to be at Bayfield, and the other match involving WAMPC and the Wildy is going to be at the Desmond Haynes Oval. That's, of course, in the BCA Elite Division 1 semi-finals on March the 27th. Time has caught with us. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bright tomorrow. It's good night.